our service time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
God, open my eyes. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's better for you not to see how people respond. Because if you really saw it, it may make you stagnant. That's why he told one of the prophets, do not look at their faces. I believe God knew that I need some development, so he kept me nearsighted until I got the LASIK so I can handle facial expressions. So I can tell when people don't, well, I don't like that. They don't say it to me, but I can see.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Overcoming Stagnation. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 17.
When I came up, there was no such thing as a remote control. You had to get up every time you changed the channel and walk up there and turn it. That's how it was. I'm not trying to take you way back, but if you grew up like this, fling, 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 you don't understand what I'm talking about. You never tasted desperate. What you mean you stressed? What do you mean you too young to be stressed? Stressed from what? Honestly, it's all mental. You're watching too many games. You're not busy. You're stagnant. And stagnant people stress more. When you get busy, stress can't grab you. It's harder for the enemy to hit a moving target than a stationary one. So let's get moving. We grow stronger through worship. This is why I'm admonishing everybody to get into the worship experience so you can be what? Stronger. We're not stronger because we're able to perform. We're stronger when we what? Worship. Without worship, we're weak as water because there's a divine exchange that takes place. My will is given up in exchange for his will and his strength. There's a divine infusion that takes place when we worship. Believe me, I'm a worshiper. I may be comical here when I get up and sing and say certain things, but I have a talent to keep people engaged. I can tell folk are falling asleep. I have a melodious voice, and so my voice causes people to say, they relax next thing or they're falling asleep. But I ain't trying to put you to sleep. I ain't Barry White. Understand that my voice is deeper. I understand it. But I'm not reading you a story before you go to sleep. I'm trying to preach the gospel. So I understand that. So I have to change it up a little bit. I had the LASIK surgery so I can see. For years, I'm nearsighted by just nearsighted, right? It doesn't mean that your eye is unhealthy. It just means the shape of it makes you have to wear glasses. But I had the LASIK. So I can see faces. And I was shocked when I got up here after the LASIK. Because I was preaching, man. I didn't know people were falling asleep. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's better for you not to see how people respond. Because if you really saw it, it may make you stagnant. That's why he told one of the prophets, do not look at their faces. I believe God knew that I need some development, so he kept me nearsighted until I got the LASIK so I can handle facial expressions. So I can tell when people don't, well, I don't like that. They don't say it to me, but I can see. Touch the neighbor and say, he don't give a flying flip, though. He don't give. I don't care about what you think. Yeah, I don't care. I've been doing this too long to care. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something about a real believer. Deep down inside, you want people that are strong, that'll tell you what they feel. Deep down inside. You may get offended at first, but you learn to appreciate it. I'm not talking about abuse. But really, we need people that's going to tell us what they feel if they're trying to correct us and get us to a place in God. Glory to God in the highest. We increase our abilities through leadership. You increase your ability through following leadership. There are things that are passed down through mentorship. As I was sharing on Wednesday night, watch mentors. Everybody wants to be one. But when you're a mentor, you're actually saying you can follow me as I follow Christ in every area. Not just in some areas, but you can pattern your life after me. And I think many of us like to claim mentorship because people are following us or they may be enthused, but I will watch that. I'm going to be doing some classes on that. I'm working on a sermon called The Watchman, and I need to teach it to our MET, The Watchman. But I'm also going to do something on mentorship because some of us are coaches or encouragers. We're not mentors. And others are mentors. You're ready to mentor people. And I think we need to get to this quicker, like in the new year, because we're going to need mentorship in the new year. And we need people that we can trust as we put you out with people, that when they start giving you accolades, you don't become too familiar with them. When they tell you, oh, you're wonderful, you changed my life. I've never met anybody like you. You're not your heart drawn like you never knew yourself before. Mentor the people and come home. Mentor the people in what? And come home. A lot of people can't handle accolades. You may think you can, but I'm telling you, you can't. When they clap for you. Many people left professional sports and football, professional sports and boxing, and say they missed the stadium. They missed walking in. Oh, my God. Even negative talk. From city to city. And once they retire, that is no more. And a lot of people in ministry, a lot of people ascend to the platform because of that. But you're not developed because you move when people praise you. You got to be able to know God is with you and he's endorsing you. And no matter where you go, no matter how many people show up and what they, oh, you're so wonderful. My God, can you get my number? Could you get my number? I don't know if I need to get your number. I don't know. Keep your number. You don't know how powerful you are until you can resist it. No, keep your number. I'm okay. Yeah. For all of you that want to go around the world, you go to a person's church, you're not supposed to be gathering numbers. They got a pastor. You're supposed to send them to their pastor. But if you don't know who you are, you know, oh, you're Clique 15. I'm mentoring them in another person's church. Really? You got a secret conversation going on with another person's member? You're not even equipped to handle that. This is what I'm trying to say. Mentorship is being confused because people got low self-esteem and then they're trying to mentor somebody. You got to get yourself together and follow the prescribed plan. Many people have left this church because they became friends with a countryman and they're going to let you preach. When is the last time you preach? You can come over right over here. 3 months later, they're still sitting. 6 months later, there's no movement. 6 years later, no movement. Left a good house, functioning, but because somebody lured you. Now, they don't even appreciate you making statements like that. You move on to the next one. Just like Jay-Z, on to the next one, 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 on to the next one. And that's how some people are treating ministry. On to the next one, to the next lady, on to the next one, to the next man, on to the next one. I am. Stagnation, stuck. Haven't grown in 3 years because you're going in different spots in different ways, and you haven't gotten with discipleship, evangelism, ministry, leadership, fellowship. So let's serve. Say, let's serve. We need to serve others. And what does that mean, to serve others? We need to take action. When you serve others, you're helping others. You're never tearing anybody down. And this is what I love about the culture of our church. The people who are helping folk are really helping them when they serve them. I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that. People are helping each other make it. A good attitude. I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that helping people across the street, helping people. Sometimes cars go out, batteries go out. I see people, the hood is up, and the men are helping them. I've even seen them underneath cars on a Sunday morning. You may not see it because all you see is a person that walked past you and didn't speak. Oh, my God. You're so caught up with self that that's all you see. Man, this is going to hurt. Church name and say, you're not that important. That's going to hurt, I know. I know you think you are, but you're not that important, man. Stop it. We're helping people in this. Say, we're helpers of each other. So help me. Help me. Help me. You can all see I kind of step down. People help me to step down. I get a little cane. You know, I was frostbitten when I was in the military. I mean, I don't like it. I wish I was as strong. I didn't have to do that. My balance is off sometimes. I got strong quads, but my calves are weak. I'm just telling you, right? I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like being a Jacob. You got to touch the hollow of my thigh. I can't wrestle with you. I got to cling to you and lean, hold you and say, I can't let you go until you bless me. I know what that's like. I got to depend on others to keep my balance sometimes. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I don't like walking around and you see me like look like I'm stumbling. But why would he do that to me? I have those. Why would you do that to me? You know, I don't want to stand before people and appear weak. I want to wear gaiters too. I want to wear Meslins. Honestly, if I didn't have that, I'd be a Meslin man. That's a brand of shoe, man. It's like off the chain, right? Bishop Al Blue is turning 70 years old here, and his son is communicating with me in my office, and Austin is now pastoring the church, man. And Al Blue, man, Clark, listen, this is the kind of shoe you need to get. He's the first black man I ever see eat oysters. What? That man eat oysters, man. I said, whoa, man. But he knows how to travel. He knows how to pack. He knows what kind of luggage you need. He knows all of that stuff. And he mentored me in it. But he showed me this shoe called Meslins. If you like shoes, check them out. You're not going to find them in Dillard's. But just Google it. Meslins, right? That's where I am, right? I like to do all of that. God said, I'm taking that away. I'm going to give you swag, but you're going to have to limp with it. You got to limp with it. And I want you to stand before these people with faith unflinchingly with that. Ladies, if you had to get up here and you were limping, how do you think you want to preach? And you couldn't wear your high heels. You couldn't step. You couldn't step. What would happen? Could you stand before people and still do what God has called you to do? Well, guess what? All of us have a malady somewhere. But the enemy wants your malady to put you in a place of stagnation. And he splits me every week before you. He makes me split before you. I don't like it, but he got me before you like that. I believe as a sign. Yeah. that his grace is sufficient. So he put a thorn in my flesh, hallelujah, and told me to preach anyway to let you know his grace is sufficient. And for those of you that got maladies and issues, and he's, don't let it put you in stagnation. Be a woman of God, a man of God anyway, even if you have to limp. Be a man or woman of God anyway. When I was growing up, there was a lady, I can't remember her name, but one of her legs was smaller than the other, and she was leading worship. And she used to always walk in the church that we were in when I was a little boy. I can't remember her name, but she had one leg. It was thin, and the other one was the right size. But she always gave worship to God. Sometimes I remember her now. I don't even know where she is or who her people are. I just remember when I was a little kid, she would lead worship and really sing praises unto the Lord. I understand that limp now. And many of us wrestled with God or we came up limping. And we're trying to help others to succeed. I'm trying to get people over the finish line. I need helpers to help me to do that. This is all in the name of Jesus. You heard the term, what would Jesus do? He will be helping people to cross the finish line. So let's help others. We help others often with no expectation of a positive return. That's real help, when you can help them, but you're not looking for payment. Now we start seeing the purity of your help. Because I'm going to help you without expecting you to pay me back. Let's just give the ratio. A lot of times it's only 10, one in 10 that comes back to say thank you. If it happened for Jesus, it'll happen for us. So stop looking for people to pay you. When we help them, we do it as unto the Lord. This will cut out a lot of people hurt in church if we did what we do as unto the Lord. We serve as believers through a selfless, compassionate acts of kindness. Selfless and compassionate acts of kindness. The temperament or the temperature of your action is just as important as your action. The temperament, the texture of your service is just as important as your service. In other words, if you're angry or mean and you bring me soup and set it on my table, it's not going to mean as much. But if the soup is good, the service needs to be good. As you serve in the house of God, see yourself carrying hot soup to someone who's not feeling well and you're setting it before them. And when you set the hot soup before them, you don't want to waste it. If it just came out of the microwave or out of a pot, let's move the microwave away. You got a nice pot on the stove, on the range. You warmed it up and you put it into a bowl that's really hot and you even have to put on gloves. And when you serve it and set it there, you want to set it there with grace. You set it there, it's not wasted. Like, just take it, all right, good, eat it. We set it there with grace because we're helping others and they're able to eat it. They should be looking at you after you set it. Most decisions for your promotion is made while you're not in the room. And if you want your waitress or waiter to be impacted, your desire is for them to be looking at your back when you're walking away, not with disdain, but with honor. When you're in the ministry, you want people that you serve to turn around and look at you, but they're not looking at you when you can't see them with disdain. It's with honor, like, wow, like a childlike wonder. That's what you should be after. Now, I did it. I got it done. No, I want you to look at me differently when I'm walking away from you. Because decisions about your promotion in their heart is made when you're not in the room. And you can determine what they think about when they walk away from you. So we got to set the climate for kindness. We got to set the climate for organizing volunteers. We got to create a hunger to volunteer. That is, I'm not going to sit on the sideline any longer. Whatever your hands find to do, let's do it with all equity. Let's get trained now and do it. Because if you're going to be serving people, you need to understand the culture here. And leaders set the culture. Anybody ever see me in the foyer greeting people? Have you ever seen me turn anybody away? Right. If you've been here for 3 years, 2 years, a year, 6 months, if you watch me, you won't see that. You won't see me. I can come out of the pulpit and do it. You won't see me telling kids, get out of here, get out of here. Only dealing with the light-skinned ones. The ones with good hair. All children are beautiful. All of God's people are beautiful. That's how you have to see God's people. And all of God's people deserve respect and honor. Sometimes I get into my moods as well. But I try to set myself to greet everybody with equity. Well, that's the culture here. So if you want to serve, you got to start developing that. I get frustrated too, probably more than most. Because I deal with more people, the more volume. I've had to condition my mind to deal with them. When I started preaching, this is something that happened to me. I was amazed because when I finished preaching and I was standing in a church that had three steps. So when I stepped down the steps and people came to speak to me, but the first one, I had a dream last night and I saw this thing and it just was in the corner of my room. I was like, okay. What does that got to do with the preaching that I just preached? That's what I said in my mind. I pray for you that God, the next person, I just lost my daughter. Wow, I'm sorry. Is there any way we can get help for her? The next person, man, I can't pay my light bill. What does that got to do with me? Somebody just put $100 in my hands. I took it out and put it in their hands. Hopefully that'll help you. And I kept moving. I said, is this ministry? Is this the way it works? That everybody has an angle, but they don't ask me, how am I doing? And if I even had an attitude, look at him. But I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the one. That's a lot of pressure on one. I was like, this is 3 minutes in it. I was like, that's what you called me to? He told me, I shook you and pulled you out of the sheepfold for them. I arrested you for them because I love them with all of their flaws. I said, yes, Lord. I didn't know. Is this it? After the $100, she out. She don't show up next week. She got her money. If I say tithing, right? You all you want is money. That's the attitude. Money, that's all they want. They bougie. Man coming to me, why are you wearing a suit? Why are you? Many men can't wear suits. The son, I was wearing a suit before I met you. I was driving Lincoln Mark 7 before I met you, sir. The preacher didn't put me on a suit. What are you talking about? This is the kind of stuff I'm dealing with. People that don't know leadership, they have no clue about a man rising in the community. They haven't seen it. I got to deal with all of this attitude. And God said, I want you to serve them because I snatched you for them. And God is talking to some of you about stagnation so you can help me serve them. So when you meet their lice and you see it, you don't get all caught up with it. You follow me as I follow Christ. But that's just not to your next prophetic gig. It is, how do you deal with them right now? How do you deal with the mess they're dealing with right now? How much long suffering do you have? Oh my God. Because you got to get the culture from your leader. I'm not short with anybody, and nobody on my team should be short. Don't throw your neck, especially to me now. I'm telling you, I'm not the one, so. Because I don't throw neck, I just point fingers. Wait. Listen. What about holding up a neighbor? Providing for those who are in need. Using your gifts and your talents to benefit your community. We need more servants in the house of the Lord, in this household of faith. We need to pull you from the city, from the community in that city, into the church community. And then not just the Church Universal, but the Congregation of Truth Revealed and other churches in the region, to move from just being a congregant to being a part of the committed group of your church, and then eventually to the core of your church. In other words, you're never on the outskirts. You're never on the periphery picking up all of the naysaying that's going on out there. You move from the congregant to the committed group. I'm committed. Say, I'm committed. And a lot of times we are preaching to the ones who are part of the congregation that's uncommitted, when we need to be talking and encouraging the ones that are committed.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Overcoming Stagnation, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Join us as we celebrate a shepherd who leads tirelessly and makes a lasting impact on our church and community. Show your love and appreciation for Bishop by giving through our website, truthrevealed.org, the Truth Revealed mobile app, or Cash App at Truth Revealed 2. Checks can be made payable to Truth Revealed. Please indicate Pastor Appreciation on the memo line. Men, save the date. Get ready for Sixth Man 2.0 Reloaded, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, happening Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Mark your calendars, set a reminder, and we'll see you at Truth Revealed for this powerful experience. New members classes are still in session. Email connect@truthrevealed.org to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.